Blog Talk Radio.
And All Access Football Inclusive.
Welcome to All Access Football. I'm your show host, Bo Marchand. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday night. We appreciate you incorporating us into your evening before the weekend starts. Today we have a very special guest. It's Patrick Allen of the Arrowhead Addicts. They do everything Kansas City Chiefs football, and here at All Access Football, we love talking any type of football. Patrick, I like calling you Bobby. What's going on, my man?
Not much, man. Just it's been kind of a crazy day with all this Jonathan Baldwin, Thomas Jones locker room fight madness. So I've just been slinging posts up all day long, trying to keep up with it all.
Nice. Well, you know, you've been following Baldwin since he arrived at the Chiefs. I'm curious, what's the fan base kind of think of the pick in Jonathan Baldwin? And what do you think the aftermath? I mean, granted, he hasn't even played a regular season game, but obviously he's behind the eight ball now. Give us your thoughts on Baldwin before and now after, since this altercation happened today in practice.
Everybody was, you know, cautiously excited about the pick. The Chiefs really needed another big tall receiver to be opposite Dwayne Bowe. There were some, before the draft, there were some concerns about his attitude, about him calling out his teammates and his coach while he was at Pitt and being a little bit of a diva. Most Chiefs fans, I think, looked at it as an opportunity for a new start for him. Todd Haley's dealt with diva receivers in the past, so I think everyone was pretty optimistic. And everything we've seen from him on Twitter and heard about in practice up until today has been really positive. He seemed like a really nice kid. He seemed like he was really grateful for the opportunity to be playing for the Chiefs and in the NFL and to be taken in the first round. And then today we all get blindsided with this news, and we don't really have all the details yet. We know Thomas Jones has had some altercations with Cedric Benson in the past in the locker room. But we really just don't know. You've got a 12-year NFL veteran and team leader in Thomas Jones and a rookie with sort of a checkered history. Most people are gonna kind of look at the rookie and say that he was responsible for this. But we haven't got the story from the Chiefs yet, so we're just going to have to wait and see. But Chiefs fans, they're not happy. They're hearing that Baldwin's out for the rest of the preseason, and they really need him on the field, and this is going to send him back, you know, even farther than just being a rookie.
And all the Chiefs fans, I did talk to a reliable source earlier today, and the only thing he would tell me is the prognosis that's being out there right now isn't as bad as it seems. That was all the details I could get, but I could tell you this much, it's a very reliable source, and if that's wrong, I would be very shocked. I'd almost put a little bit of my life on it. Not all my life, but I put a little bit on the life. You know, Patrick, when I think of this Baldwin incident, it's kind of ironic when you go back in the history of the NFL and in recent memory, you know, you got Michael Westbrook of the Redskins punching Steven Davis, and then you got Steve Smith getting in a fight with the Carolina Panthers. You know, it's kind of a funny thing that all the wide receivers in the NFL kind of get these altercations. Bizarre?
Yeah. I mean, you got Sean Smith punching Brady Quinn in the Browns locker room a few years ago.
Yeah.
He came and played for the Chiefs. You got some of these guys that have had trouble. You know, these guys, they're football players, they're competitive, there's a lot of testosterone in those locker rooms. You know, we all know these things sort of happen, and unless somebody gets hurt, you know, a lot of times we don't even hear about it. But in this case, unfortunately, it got a little crazy. You know, it's not really that tough to sprain or break your wrist. You know, it's not that strong of a bone. So, you know, if there was some shoving and he lost his balance and he fell and he put out his hand to break his fall, he might have sprained that wrist a little bit. Might not be as big a deal as it sounds, but We just don't know. With Baldwin, he really needed to be careful because of his reputation coming in, and now because of this, we know how the NFL is when you mess up. So it's going to take him a long time to live this one down, probably regardless of what happened. So he's going to have to work really hard to make people forget.
Patrick Allen of Arrowhead Addict. You can follow him at Arrowhead Addict on Twitter, and you can check those guys out at www.arrowheadaddicts.com. As well. Everything Kansas Chiefs football. Patrick, 10-6 last year. You guys kind of surprised everybody. San Diego was the favorite. You go on to win the division. I mean, Todd Haley enters his third season. I think last year you'd have to say was a surprise. The team kind of came out of nowhere, had a fantastic year. So, I mean, was last year a little bit more of a mirage, or was that a 10-6 team? And I mean, is it 10-6 this year or better, or do you think they're going to go to an 8-8? I mean, your prediction's moving ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on one hand, yeah, they kind of arrived a little bit ahead of schedule. But you can't really call it a mirage. I mean, this is the NFL. Those are all NFL teams. They did have a really easy schedule. But, you know, the year before, the Chiefs went 4-12. They played teams like the Bills and the Browns, and they lost to them. So, you know, in 2010, they took a step forward. They learned how to win games and beat the teams that they should have been able to beat. And now they sort of got to take the next logical step to take on the, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens of the world. I don't know if they're going to get there this year because they have such a brutal schedule, but I mean, they're definitely for real. They're a talented football team. They're really young. They have a great coach on defense in Romeo Crennel. They've got guys like Eric Berry, Derek Johnson. They got Glenn Dorsey, who's finally starting to come into his own. They've got some really nice pieces with Brandon Flowers and Brandon Carr in the corners. I mean, that defense is going to be, I think, pretty dominant here in the next 2 years. So they're going to be in the mix, but, you know, the questions are can Matt Castle, can he lead them, you know, over those tougher defenses? He's had trouble against some of the tougher defenses in his career so far. I think if he takes that next step this year, they could be competitive. They might not be able to eke out another winning season because of the schedule. I was on ESPN Radio Houston last night, and I told those guys, if they, you know, I'm thinking probably 8-8, maybe 7-9. I think that would be a step forward for them, actually, because of the schedule. But if they finish 9-7 or 10-6 and they sneak into the playoffs, they're a Super Bowl contender because they've got to play the Packers, they've got to play the Jets, they've got to play the Patriots, they've got to play the Colts, they've got to play the Chargers twice. I mean, this is a deadly schedule. So if they navigate that, sky's the limit for them.
Yeah, definitely. 2-4 last year in the division, so I think that's a definite thing to look at as a stepping stone to even improve inside the division, because they obviously did, you know, great outside the division, but it was even those inner division battles. And, you know, everyone remembers last year, Monday night, and the rainstorm of San Diego. I think you were at that game, weren't you?
I was there, yeah. I was there. They call it the Monday Night Magic game now. It was something else. It was pouring. It was a monsoon. I had a buddy of mine bought us club seats, so I was actually dry. I lucked out. I felt bad for everybody, but it was still rain, no rain. It was an amazing experience, and you kind of just felt when they won that game that the season was going to be different, that they had a little bit more together. And, you know, I think this year they just need to learn to be a little bit more physical. They went 2-4 in the division last year, and they had a tough time with teams like the Raiders, who were really physical up front. They had trouble the second time they played the Chargers, who can be very physical on defense. So, you know, I think they drafted a little bit for that this year. Whether or not, you know, some of these new guys will be able to step in and help them beat those teams, I don't know. But they're definitely heading in the right direction. A step back this year, as long as it's not a terrible season, it's, you know, 2-14 or 4-12. As long as they win 7 games, 8 games, they're beat some of these tough teams, they're for real, and they should be in really good shape in 2012.
Excellent. And once again, Arrowhead Addicts, Patrick Allen here on All Access Football. If you catch this podcast late, you can go to www.nfldraftbible.com. You can catch your show in its entirety. Patrick, when you look at this team, because you know it inside and out, I mean, who are some of those Kansas City Chiefs fan or players that the fans might not be real familiar with? They're going to take that next step, and when they're watching their Chiefs on Sunday, they're going to start to become a household name. Any guys kind of jump off the paper that guys are going to be you know, standouts in 2011?
Yeah, you know, there's one guy in particular, I think, that people who were paying attention last year already know about this kid, but, you know, other people might not be really on his train yet, is tight end Tony Moiaki coming out of Iowa. They drafted him last year, and there were some injury concerns with him, but he was in there for every game, save for a game he missed after he suffered a concussion on an onside kick try. But other than that, he was good to go, and he was really fantastic. He was second in the team in receiving. And I know Peter King was just out at Chiefs camp in St. Joseph, Missouri this week, and he loves Moiaki. People are calling him a little bit of a Dallas Clark type tight end. They can move him inside. They can even spread him out wide. He can block. He can catch. He was just fantastic as a rookie. He had more receiving yards than Tony Gonzalez had in his rookie season. So we'll stay away from the Hall of Fame comparisons just yet, but, I mean, he's got a really legit shot to be a Pro Bowler in this league, and he's a guy, if he can stay on the field, you're going to start hearing his name, especially now that the Chiefs have Steve Bresden and some more receiving options, he's going to get freed up a little bit more and should be able to make more of an impact.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you bring up another guy, the free agent signing, to Steve Breffin, because, you know, Dwayne Bowe, obviously a very, very good receiver in the NFL. Not much help besides Mayocchi. I mean, Chris Chambers had around 22 catches last season, so, and he was on the tail end of his career. So you bring in a guy like Breffin, Baldwin, hopefully, you know, he's ready to go, and, you know, he can contribute as well. I mean, when you look at this team, what are some of your thoughts moving forward? You know, I mean, the running game is there, but how much better can Matt Castle be with all these weapons?
Well, yeah, that's the big question. It really is. Is he going to be able to handle those tougher defenses? And we saw last year, there's no question, he's improved greatly from 2008 when he was in New England. His accuracy has improved a little bit. I'd like to see him get a little bit better on the deep ball, but his pocket awareness is much better. He gets rid of the football. He doesn't make too many stupid decisions. You know, he doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. And he's a little bit more comfortable in the Chiefs' offense now. And now the next logical step for him is to be able to use those weapons and start to become, you know, more of a game changer for the Chiefs. He's a really good game manager right now. And he showed last year he can shred a poor defense pretty well. He came back from his appendectomy and didn't have a great game, but he played real tough and was a big part of their win 1 week after he had his appendix removed. And then he shredded up the Tennessee Titans in week 16 and pretty much sent the Chiefs to the AFC West Championship. So that's the big question mark for him. He's going to get his chance this year. I mean, he's going to be out of excuses. He's going to have Breslin. He's going to have Bowe. He's got Jamal Charles, who's, in my opinion, the best running back in football, save maybe Chris Johnson. And he's going to have all the weapons at his disposal. You know, he's got Mayocchi, Dexter McCluster, Breslin, Bowe. So when he goes up against those tough defenses, there's going to be somebody in one-on-one coverage, and he's got to be able to make the throws and not take the sacks and not turn the ball over. If he can do that, the Chiefs could make a Super Bowl run here in the next couple of years. If not, we might have to start taking a harder look at Ricky Stanzi. But I like Castle. I really think he's a guy. I think he's going to be around for a while. I think he can do it.
And Patrick, and you know what, we're going to start getting the ratings up on the show right now. Pete, you mentioned Jamal Charles, so that immediately gets the ears buzzing of all the fantasy football listeners that are listening to Arrowhead Addict Patrick Allen here on All Access Football. Jamal Charles, Thomas Jones, that deadly backfield, two powerful backs. How much better, or I should say, how much more do you think that the Chiefs are going to lean on Charles? Or do you think it's kind of going to be the same output and split amount of carries moving forward in 2011? Or do you think they're going to kind of, you know, let Charles become even more evolved in the offense moving forward?
You know, I actually think that he's going to stay about the same, and I think that's the smart money for the Chiefs. They split carries between him and Jones last year. Jones ended up with maybe five or six more carries, I think, not too many. But, you know, Charles is obviously the more productive back, but he's not huge. And, you know, he's somebody that you probably want to stay away from given, you know, 350 carries a season, because he's probably not going to hold up, because he's not a power back. He's a speed and finesse back. So you want to keep him fresh all season long and from year to year so that he can make an impact for you, because if he loses that, he's you know, he loses his edge. I think that what they'll probably do with Jones is they'll ratchet his carries down a little bit this year, because he really wore down as the season went on. He's an old guy. They've got him playing at a lighter weight, so he'll get off the line a little bit quicker. But, you know, his legs are going to give out on him. We saw the same thing with Tomlinson last season. These guys just get tired and you know, they get old. So I think you'll see a few less carries for Jones, but the Chiefs went out and they got LaRon McClain, and I think they're going to be giving some carries to Dexter McCluster. So I think you'll see those two benefit from that a little bit. They'll get some carries, and I think also they're going to throw a little bit more. They did run a lot last year. They led the league in rushing, but they did that because they didn't have anybody else to throw the ball to. There just were no other receivers on the team other than Dwayne Bowe and Tony Mayocchi. They had Verann Tucker, an undrafted free agent, starting. Chris Chambers got his contract and stopped playing. So, I mean, for those fantasy guys out there, yeah, I think you'd be safe with Charles, but, you know, don't expect a whole ton of touchdowns from him unless he breaks one, because I think when they get down in that goal line area, I think Haley likes to throw the ball a lot down there because he wants to take advantage of Bowe and Mayocchi's size. Now that he's got Baldwin, forget about it. You're going to see even more fade routes down there. And then he's got McClain and Thomas Jones. So if they get in close, he's probably going to be handing off to those guys a lot. He doesn't want Jamal Charles to get crushed down there on the line. So he's a good fantasy guy for you, though. He'll break his share of long runs and win you some weeks.
Patrick, I'm going to put you on the spot right now because you are the Kansas City Chiefs main man. If you're going into a fantasy draft, who are you going to take with that number one pick if you had to choose between Jamal Charles and Chris Johnson?
I'm taking, at this point, I'm taking Charles, hands down. Chris Johnson, he gets a lot more of the load out there. But, you know, with this holdout thing going on, I'm worried about that. And quite frankly, I'm worried about them giving him so many carries out there. He carries a lot of the load for him. He's awesome, you know, but he's not that much. He and Charles are very similar runners, very similar in size, and he's great right now. But, you know, we know with these running backs, the drop-off comes, and it comes fast, and sometimes it comes out of nowhere. And these guys get too many carries. We've seen it with guys like Larry Johnson, Jamal Lewis. They get too many carries, and then all of a sudden they're done. So if anything happens to Chris Johnson, too many carries, you know, he could fall off. I respect him. I think he's awesome. But with the holdout combined with the amount of carries they give him, I like the way that the Chiefs are handling Charles, especially if you're in a keeper league. Charles is still really young. He's a guy to get and hang on to because the Chiefs handle him well and he doesn't have any injuries. He should be good to go for a number of years.
Excellent. Once again, Patrick Allen and Arrowhead Addicts join us here on All Access Football. For the listeners who aren't familiar with Arrowhead Access, tell them a little bit about what you guys do, what you guys bring to the table for any Kansas City Chiefs fan or any football fan out there for that matter.
Yeah, sure. Well, we're part of the fansided.com network of sports blogs. We've got sports blogs across, you know, all the sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, fighting, everything. And at Arrowhead Addict, our big strength is our opinions. We're really strong with our opinions. We have two feature columns every day from really outstanding writers who are writing about the Chiefs. They don't pull any punches. They present their opinions. They're not worried about trying to get access to the team and things like that. So they're not worried about taking off Scott Pioli and having him come after him. And we think that's something that sets us apart a little bit and helps us stand out and be a little bit different than some of the other Chiefs sites out there. And then, of course, we bring the news daily. We've always got all the news and stuff and great discussion. But we're there really to write and write about the Chiefs and to present strong opinions about the Chiefs and what they're doing and the moves that they're making. Some good writing and some opinions that you might not find elsewhere out there in the blogosphere.
And you can also follow them at Arrowhead Addicts on your Twitter accounts. Patrick, one more thing before we let you go. I'm curious, when you're doing these blogs and the Chiefs fans are, reading and you guys are, communicating about what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs, what are the biggest things? I mean, what's the fans' concerns right now? I mean, what are you hearing the most? What's the thing that people just kind of keep hammering on and are just kind of concerned about?
Guys are...
Besides the news today. I'm sure the news today would be that, but besides that.
Yeah. The news today is that, the guys just really, they just want the Chiefs to win a damn playoff game. It has been a long time since they've won a playoff game. You know, we had a couple of really rough years there the last 3 years before 2010. And guys, they're excited. They really just want to see the team take the next step. We had some great teams in the 90s and in the early 2000s, but guys just, they're really ready for a playoff win. And until that happens, nothing's really going to be good enough. We're going to have a chip on our shoulder because, I was in junior high the last time the Chiefs won a playoff game. I won't get into how old I am now. Not that old, but it was a long time ago. So, we'd like to see them get another win in there. And I think those are their concerns about, is Castle the guy, is Haley the guy, and the second guessing will go on until they get it done. They win another Super Bowl. And they really want to win that Lamar Hunt trophy, which the Chiefs have never won because it was created after they won their Super Bowl in Super Bowl IV over the Vikings. So people want to see that Lamar Hunt trophy come back to Kansas City where it belongs.
Yeah, definitely. And Lamar Hunt, Dallas Texans, they became the Chiefs in 1960. Hey, Patrick, we appreciate you taking some time joining us here on All Access Football. And like I said, any fan out there, if you want to follow the Kansas City Chiefs, just simply go to www.arrowheadaddicts.com, and there you're going to find out everything you know. You can also find those guys at Twitter as well. Patrick, we appreciate you coming on, my man.
Anytime, brother. I'll see you soon.
No problem. That is Patrick Allen of the Arrowhead Addicts joining us here on NFL Draft Bibles. All Access Football. We appreciate Patrick joining us. Great insight to the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'd look to bring you more team-by-team guys like that to bring you updated on the insight of what's going on with these NFL camps and NFL preseason games and the NFL guys that are making it happen. Once again, big news out of Kansas City. Baldwin Thomas Jones, again, a little altercation. Rumor has it that Baldwin obviously hurt his wrist, but I'm hearing that the reports of that injury aren't as serious as that are being led on. If you caught this show late, just go to www.nfldraftbible.com. You can hear it in its entirety there. And once again, we want to thank Patrick Allen for coming on the show. Thanks for incorporating us in your weekend. Have a safe weekend. Thanks for listening.